name is Tom Berlin. You may be a guest tonight or a friend who has brought you here. And I just want to say on behalf of the congregation, we're just very, very pleased to have you here. I want to draw your attention to a couple of things before we begin, or as we continue, I guess I should say, in worship. First, you may have a cell phone that you've forgotten about, and you might want to turn that so that it won't ring during the service. Sometimes in the evening, that's a little bit harder to remember. So you can take a moment and feel free to check that now. You'll see this bulletin. We have a number of Easter services here, and you are invited. I hope that you'll come. You can find these on the back of your bulletin or on our website. You'll know that we begin on Saturday at 7 p.m. That's a worship service that'll focus on baptism and remembering our baptism. Our Easter sunrise service will be outside at 6:15 a.m. on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday. And then we'll have our normal service times at 8, 9, 15, 11, and 5 p.m. Please feel free to come to any of those. Last night, we held a Holy Thursday service. Maundy Thursday is what that's often called. We celebrated the Lord's Supper here. And it was really just a wonderful worship occasion. Tonight is called Good Friday. The focus is on the cross and on the death of Christ, the atonement of Christ. And that will primarily be done through the music that you're about to hear from our choir and the larger orchestra. During this time at Florist, we often honor our choir and the orchestra. We often applaud. They have asked me to tell you to please don't do that tonight. Please hold your applause. There's a solemnity to Good Friday that we want to honor, and it'll also help us with the flow of the music and the narrative that will be shared by those who are sharing Scripture. So I just want to remind you of that this evening. You may wonder at the end of the service, when do I leave? And the way you'll know to leave, there's not a benediction. You'll know to leave when this large choir gets up and it starts to leave. That's your cue. When on Good Friday, we walk out of the sanctuary in silence, and we do that again as an act of solemnity, as an act of honoring the holiness of the evening. So as you leave the sanctuary, please be in silence. Once you're out of the sanctuary, if there's someone you'd like to talk to about the meaning of the service or a friend that you'd like to speak to, by all means, feel free to do that in the space outside of the sanctuary. We believe this will be a meaningful experience. I'm so glad that you're here and hope that you'll continue to celebrate Holy Week with us on Easter Sunday.
It is dark. The day has turned to night.
Jesus, who just last night ate and drank wine with his disciples,
now hangs condemned.
The sun is eclipsed. The earth shakes.
Jesus, who spoke words of love, who touched and healed,
hangs condemned.
Shall we bow our heads and pray? Holy and living God, we come together tonight to remind you, to remember our humanity, and to remember your sacrifice. Help us to put aside our tendency to get caught up in the busyness of our own lives and instead focus our hearts on the depth of your wondrous love. We ask for eyes to see, ears to hear truth of your sacrifice for our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand as you're able. Let us join together for our first hymn.
Our Lord, have mercy on us. In your bulletin, you'll find a prayer of confession that we'll share together in tonight. Would you bow your heads and let's pray together? Merciful God, we meet each other today at the foot of the cross. As inhabitants of one world, we wait as those who inflict wounds on one another. Lord, have mercy. As those who deny justice to others, be merciful to us. As those who put our trust in the powers of this world, Christ, have mercy. As those who are greedy, Lord, have mercy. As those who refuse to receive love and grace, be merciful to us. As those who are afraid of the world's torment, Christ, have mercy. Amen.
Thank you. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But then, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled.
Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him at low esteem. Surely, he took up our pain. He bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed by our iniquity. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Surely,
Then, seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I do not know what you were talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words the Lord spoke, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Thank you.
The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy! Who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Messiah," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips."
Then the whole assembly rose and took him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes the payment of taxes to Caesar and claims he is Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea with his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." Upon hearing this, Pilate asked if this man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time.
When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had wanted to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is inciting the people for a rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and found no basis for the charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. He has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Wanting Jesus released, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time, he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found him in no way worthy of the grounds of the death penalty. Therefore, I will punish him and have him released."
But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will.
As the soldiers led Jesus away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A number of people followed him, including women who mourned him and wailed for him. There were two other men who were criminals, who were also led away with Jesus to be executed. When they came to a place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They divided his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. He saved others. Why doesn't he save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one? And the soldiers also came up and mocked him. If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, today, truly I tell you, you will be with me in paradise.
Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of a hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and suddenly there was a flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may also believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced.
Thank you.
Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in it a tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Thank you. Thank you.